at Calvary. 138.
Here's thy penitentiary and cry, caring not my Lord's crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary.
Jesse, would you ask the Lord to bless the offering?
Here, Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to be in your house and hear your words, oh Lord. Thank you to the brothers and sisters that are here. I ask you to watch over and guide and protect those that are not. I ask you to bless this offering that may be used to get your word under the word unto the world, dear Lord. And as I sing in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.
Stand one last time and turn to page 644. Sing, count your blessings.
When you are discouraged, thank you, God.
Life. Turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2. Psalms chapter 40 and in verse 2. We have a business meeting this evening at 6 o'clock. And then we have a ladies meeting Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And have the Christmas in September going on, the Ray Roberts offering going on, and then some of the ladies are going to the fall retreat at Seneca Lake on the 16th. What is that, Friday? Okay, Friday and Saturday it looks like. Okay, Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2. We're going to continue on with the study that we've had on the house upon the rock. House upon the rock. And this morning, we've looked at several things about the house upon the rock. We've looked at taking heed to the Word of God. That's a rock. The Word of God's a rock. Praying together. Prayer is a rock. Going to church is a given. And how that should be a rock that our families are built upon and the church is built upon. Winning one another. Serving the Lord together. Doing service together. Not just a cliche, but working together. Having a new song in the heart, that's a rock. Authority respected and security, and apologizing and forgiving, and chastening and correction and discipline, and loving one another. These are rocks that we've looked at over the last few weeks. Now, it may not seem like we've covered that much ground, but we've covered a lot of ground on things that are important for a house to be built upon and for the church to be built upon. Very important things. This morning, we're going to look at a couple more, at least one more. And the one that we're going to look at is honesty and trust. Honesty and trust. And I had you turn to Psalms 40 and verse 2, and I've already messed up. You should be, please turn to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 and in verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, we'll read the verse, then I'll pray, and then we'll look at some things on honesty and trust. Deuteronomy 32, and in verse 4, the Bible says, He is the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. We've looked at several verses on this. God is the rock. The Lord Jesus is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, perfect, complete, mature. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth, so He can be trusted. He tells the truth. A God of truth and without iniquity. Not only does He tell the truth, He doesn't do evil things, ever, ever, never, never does evil things. A God of truth and without iniquity. Everything He does is truthful, honest, with integrity. He's out without iniquity. Just and right is He. He's always just. There's justice with God every time. Every time it looks like there isn't, we're wrong, He's right. He's just. He's just. And He's right. Just and right is He. Now I say to you that there is a rock here. He says, He is the rock. And there is a rock here that we can rest upon, we can bank upon, we can stand upon. And that is the rock of honesty and truth. Listen, if we had a God that we could not trust because He was not honest, then we would have no God. We would have a mess. We would have no peace. We would have only turmoil. Only turmoil. But we have a God who is a rock and that can be trusted because He's just and right. There's no iniquity in Him, and He is a God of truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the rock, Christ Jesus. We thank You for His honesty, for His truth. We are thankful, Lord, that when He said, let there be light, He was right and there was. When He said, let the waters be separated from the land, He was right and there was separation. Lord, everything He ever spoke came to pass just as He spoke it. Father, we're thankful for the rock of our salvation, Christ Jesus. We're thankful that He's honest and He's true. God, I pray and ask this morning that You would meet with us. Lord, You are our Redeemer, and You do live, and we thank You for this. Lord, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, the Lamb without sin, the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. God, we're thankful for our Redeemer. God, I pray and ask this morning that You would help us, Lord, to look at Your Word, Your Holy Bible, Your Holy Word, the one that can be trusted, the one that we can anchor our soul upon, the Word, the one synonymous with the name of Your Son. God, we're thankful for this book. God, I pray this morning that You would meet with us and teach us and instruct us. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would provide healing for us and strength and help. God, I pray that You would fill me with Your Spirit and with Your words. Father, I pray that You would help me, Lord, that You would guide my mind, my thoughts, my tongue, that I might be Your instrument. Lord, that I might say those things that You require, that You find necessary. Lord, may I speak from the abundance of my heart the words that You've placed there. God, may Your Word and may the Lord Jesus Christ have preeminence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now God can be trusted. God can be trusted. That's a rock. That's a rock. And we've looked at that rock and leaned upon that rock and trusted in that rock for many ages, many years. And many people down through the ages have trusted and looked upon that rock. They put their faith in that rock. And because He can be trusted and because He is honest, we trust Him. Now you say, you're beating that point up. But it's got to be. It's got to be something that is solid that we understand. You see, I find people all the time that have problems. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to say, I don't know if I can trust God in this situation or not. Yeah, it's bad. Bad. Shame on us. Shame on us. He's rock. He's honest. He's trustworthy. It doesn't matter what the liberal says about Him. It doesn't even matter about what modern theologians say about Him. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not concerned about what the Buddhists are saying about Him or Muhammad, the Muslims are saying about Him. I'm not concerned about those things. You see, because I trust Him. I trust Him. He's honest. He's honest. He's integrity. He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. So it doesn't matter where He leads us. It doesn't matter what we go into. It doesn't matter what problem we have. He's trustworthy. Now, God can be trusted. The better question is can we? Can we be trusted? Can we be trusted? Let me read to you this thing called Cannot Say Lord's Prayer If. You cannot say the Lord's Prayer if. You cannot say the Lord's Prayer if. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor each day to act like His child. I cannot say who art in heaven if I am laying up no treasure there. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I am not striving for holiness. I cannot say Thy kingdom come, if I am not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful event. I cannot say, Thy will be done, if I am disobedient to His word. I cannot say, on earth as it is in heaven, if I'll not serve Him here and now. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread, if I am dishonest and am seeking things by subterfuge. I cannot say, forgive us our debts, if I harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation, if I deliberately place myself in its path. I cannot say, deliver us from evil, if I do not put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom, if I do not give the king the loyalty due him from a faithful subject. I cannot attribute to him the power, if I fear what men may do. I cannot ascribe to him the glory, if I'm seeking honor only for myself. And I cannot say forever, if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by time. Now I tell you what, there's a lot there. You say, what's the point of that? We pray a prayer, and then we don't live that prayer. We say something, and then we don't do it. You say, you're talking about me? I'm talking about us. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about every believer. It should be our desire to fulfill the good pleasures of the Lord. And too often it's not, unfortunately. So can we be trusted? Can we be trusted? God can be. It's a rock. It's a rock that our salvation is built upon. I would not know sin, the Bible says, unless the law had said what sin is. I would not know a Savior hanging on a cross, being taken down, being put into a tomb, and being raised again the third day, if he hadn't given me his word on it and sealed it with his blood. He's honest. He's true. We rest our salvation upon the honesty and the truth of God and his word. Our homes must be built the same way. There must be trust. There must be trust. There must be honesty. There must be truth. These things have to take place. You see, because half a truth is generally more damage than a whole error. You follow that? Half a truth. Just being halfway right about something is more damaging than being completely wrong. When you're completely wrong about things, everybody knows it. Maybe but you. And in time, you do. But half-truths clothe the lie. Satan is the father of lies. The Bible tells us the father of lies. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ declares that Satan is the father of lies and a murderer. Now, he's not honest. He's not trustworthy. The first lie that we know that Satan told was to Adam and Eve. He told them that a half-truth. He said, if you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be opened. And they were, to see good and bad. And they saw they were sinners. They saw they were sinners. They said, if you eat of that fruit, you will gain knowledge. Yeah. They knew not what bad was now and what good was and how much better off they were when they just knew what good was. And they were not to be found as sinners, but faithful stewards. Half a truth, half a lie. Listen, that's why I am so passionate about this principle concerning the Word of God. You know what God said? In the day that you eat of that fruit, ye shall surely die. Satan added one word. He said, ye shall not surely die. It's a lie. It's a lie. They died spiritually that day. They died to God's blessings that day. That day. Just one review board of the Scriptures. Just one editor of the Scriptures, changing just one word that he felt fully qualified to change. And a big lie was told. That's why I will not accept the revisions of any man of the holy word of the living God. Won't accept it. Won't accept it. That is a passion of mine, and that is a principle upon which I stand. And it's solid rock. It's solid rock. Cannot. I cannot. Now maybe you can, but I cannot. I cannot. I've just seen that God has a book, and Satan attacks that book over and over, and he closes it with religion, he closes it with helpfulness, he closes the attacks with whatever he needs to sell the lie. And I will not accept it, even from the most trusted friend. When a man gets up and he picks up a Bible and he says, "Now, I trust this book, but you know over here, this word here, a better word would have been. I mark him as untrustworthy." Every time. Now, over here, you know, this is kind of an antiquated word and really a better word, or in the Greek, the real word was, I count him as untrustworthy. Now, you may not. Now, you may not. But I do. I do. This is a principle that I have. You say, well, you know, he may have a lot of wisdom. Okay, I'll glean some wisdom, but I'm going to glean it through the Word of God. I'm not going to glean it through man's wisdom. If what he says agrees with the Bible, I'll believe it. And if I can't find agreement within the Scripture, if he tries to correct the Scripture, no trust there, as far as I'm concerned. Listen, I went to schools, pretty good schools. Worked at companies, got some pretty good training. All right. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to trust any instructor or anyone that contradicts the authority. Listen, when I was going to engineering school, if somebody was said, you know, gravity doesn't really work, I'd have looked at him and I said, what? It doesn't work? Newton thought it did. Are you smarter than Newton? How many of you believe gravity works? Let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. Let's do this 100 times. I'd wear you out with it. One of these times, maybe it'll go up. Is it going to work? No, I'd be wore out if I really did that 100 times. Is that going to work, Nathan? Is it ever going to go up? Is gravity going to work? Does it always work? Yep, unless God changes it. Right? Unless God changes it. My opinion's not going to change it. It's either true or it's not true. If it's true, it's not complicated. You know who needs the best memory in the world? The best liars. The truth stands on its own. It's not complicated to tell the truth. You have 20/20 vision, 20/20 memory concerning the truth. You just relive it. It's the lie that gets complicated. It's the lie that gets tangled. It's the lie that takes a good memory. You don't need a good memory to tell the truth, right? I don't need a good memory to rely upon the truth. I just need to listen to it, hear it, have faith, and obey it. Right? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. That's why it doesn't have to be complicated. That's why the old story is such a simple story, because it's a true story. A true story. One we can rest upon. One we can rest upon. Now, Satan hates that story. And he'd just as leave that story be done away with. He'd like to get rid of that story. He'd like to get rid of it. Now, he liked it for a little while when the Savior, when the Lord of glory was hanging on a cross and being spit upon, when being reviled, had been pierced, had been beaten, and had been laughed at. He liked it for a little while, but Christ bruised Satan's head with his heel on the cross. And Satan hadn't liked that story ever since. And he'd been shooting holes in that story ever since. But you know what? The story just mends itself and keeps right on going. It's bulletproof. It's bulletproof. It's a bulletproof story. The old story. Trust him. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to trust him simply seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him. Trust God. Trust God. Now listen, there needs to be that kind of trust in the home too. Now we'll never be able to trust each other like we can trust God. Okay? But we need to build trust in our homes. Has to be trust there. Boy, what a mess when the trust is gone. Some of you have experienced that trust being removed. Some of you have experienced the heartache of having somebody that you trusted, that you cared about, reject you, disappoint you, hurt you in some way. You've experienced that. You've experienced it. And you know the pain and the suffering that lack of trust causes, because there's no stability there. That rock of honesty, that rock of trust is gone. It's gone. And replaced with heartache and troubles and sorrow. There must be trust in the home. Parents, you must be trustworthy. Children, you must be trustworthy. Husbands, wives, you must be trustworthy. Must be worthy of your family's trust. You must go to extremes to secure that trust, to keep that trust, to encourage that trust. And it's simple. You must be truthful and honest to have trust. You must have integrity to have trust. The middle verse of the Bible. Some of you know this already. Anybody know where the middle verse of the Bible is? Psalms. Got that. Psalms. Pardon? Psalms 118:9, I believe. Psalms 118:9. I wrote down Psalms 118:9, but I'm second guessing myself now. It might be 119:9. I think it is 118:9. 118:8. Yes. 118:8. Thank you. Psalms 118:8. If you're there, Psalms 118:8. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Okay? Now, this is considered to be the middle verse in the Bible. Okay? Now, what are the middle two words in this verse? The Lord. If you split that verse down the middle, the Lord. You know who's in the center of the Bible? The Lord is in the center of the Bible. And you know what it says about Him? It's better to trust Him than to put confidence in man. Trust. Honest. Trust. Honesty. He's truth. He can be trusted. Can we? Can we be trusted? It's important to have trust in a family. It's important to have trust in a church. Here's what happens. Here's when trust becomes so evident. The importance of trust becomes so evident to us. It's when it's missing. When trust is missing. It becomes so evident how important trust is. For the one who is mistrusted, when a person is mistrusted because they've done something wrong, it takes a long time to get that trust back. Long time. And great change must take place. It's not going to be simple enough just to apologize. Great change has to take place. Got to. Now you know it. You know it because you've been betrayed by somebody, and they may apologize, and you may have said it was okay, but it just hung on for a while, and a while, and a while, and lingered. And you said, I don't know if I can trust them again. Now, that's one scenario. Now, the other is when the mistrust is fabricated, then it's very, very difficult for that person to trust again. You've experienced it. You've seen it. You've seen it in your homes. You've seen it. I tell you what, The only remedy I know for it is, yes, there must be apologies. There must be apologies. But there has to be, those doubts have to be replaced with uncompromised support. If you have mistrust somebody wrongly, that person is going to be there, and their trust in you then has been greatly destroyed. And apologies, sincere apologies, will go a long way, but unconditional support is the only thing that's going to make a difference. You say, why is that? Because every time you then doubt, it goes right back to that original mistrust. Now I'm talking about real things. I think you guys have experienced things like this. In your homes, at work, different situations, you've experienced things like this. These things are true. They're true. You know they're true. You know they're true. And they're important. And trust is important. So much so that we owe the truth the responsibility to find out the facts. We owe it. Mistrust. Mistrust. It's a terrible, terrible, dividing thing. When a man or a woman steps out, I guess that would be the polite way to say it. Let's don't just be polite. Let's say commits adultery, fornication, sins. No reason to sugarcoat it. Sin. When a man or a woman commits sin, the sin of adultery, a great breach of trust has taken place. It's taken place. And it will take great change and much time to heal that wound. Great change and much time. A sincere apology covers a lot of the hurt. But for the wound to be mended, there must be great change. Great change. These are tough things. Tough things. When a parent is consistently dishonest with their kids, with their friends, with their family, trust is destroyed. And what is created is a generation who is not trustworthy. We owe our families the responsibility. We have the responsibility to be trustworthy. To be trustworthy. To cherish the truth. To not run with every lie. Not to conveniently slip away through little lies. Little to who? Not to God. We owe our families honesty, truth, integrity. We owe these things. Turn to Psalms chapter 28 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 28 and verse 1. The next rock. Good communication. Good communication. Not corrupt and not reluctant. Not corrupt communication and not reluctant communication. Not withholding it. Good communication. Now there are some people, no names will be mentioned, that when they get mad, get quiet. Now don't raise your hand and don't look at your shoes. Just look up here, nobody will know. And then there are some who, when they get mad, get very loud. Neither is very good communication. Neither one is good communication. Neither one. Neither one. Now look here at this rock of communication. Psalms chapter 28, verse 1, a psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Here's David, and he's crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, God, don't be silent to me. Speak to me, Lord. Tell me something, Lord. Don't withhold your voice. Give me something to hear. Or I'll be troubled. I'll be, how does he say it? I become like them that go down into the pit. If thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Communication. Now again, don't raise your hand, but have you ever felt like God just wasn't talking to you anymore? You maybe couldn't figure out why. I tell you what, when I get into that position, when I think, you know, I'm just not getting anything from the Lord, my reaction is some, it's maybe different than some others. You know what my reaction is? I'm just surprised He talked to me in the first place. I long for the day He'll be talking to me again. Because it's not my merit. Now listen, when I say talk, I'm not listening for an audible voice. I'm not listening for some dream in the middle of the night. I'm not listening for any of that. I am listening to that book and waiting for the Holy Spirit of God to place upon my heart a truth from that book. And then having the Holy Spirit of God take that truth and exhibit it then in my life in some circumstance. And so that I say, God, I know of a certainty that You have spoken. More sure than an audible voice, I know that You've spoken. But how about when you're not hearing anything? Silent. Now I'll confess a little bit. When my wife and I get upset, that happened a few years ago. We got in an argument or something a few years ago or something, maybe 10 years ago or something. Okay, well, maybe I need to be honest. When we get into fights, we get into arguments, my part is typically pretty quiet. Now I'm not going to tell you Melissa's part. I'm just confessing my faults here. I get quiet. I get quiet. I just don't say a lot. You know who ultimately that hurts? Me. Me. I'm the one upset. And if I won't say anything about it, it just keeps on eating and eating and eating and eating until it grows into this big monster. Then I got to do something about it. And you too, if that's your nature, you got to do something about it. It's not good communication. It promotes just absolutely not the fix, but more the problem, whatever the problem is. Works that way with church as well. When a person is wrong and has a problem and they won't follow the Bible and won't go to that person and talk, communicate, it just grows. And it festers, and it eats, until all of a sudden it's a monster that's got to be blurted out and dealt with. That's the way it works. Church, home, work, anywhere. If there's not good communication, if there's silence, it's not forever. It's not forever. Because that silence will lead to reaction, to a reaction at some time, in some way. So the silent treatment, not good communication. It's not a rock to build your house upon. It's shifty sand, shifting sand. It's not a rock. But here is the God of our salvation, and He says, unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And the rock that's established here is communication. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. You know what happened to the nation of Israel? God spoke to him, and God spoke to him, and God spoke to him, and he talked to him, and he said, you got to correct this, you got to quit doing that. Those idols, that idol of wood, knock on it, there isn't anything in there. That idol of rock, go holler in the sea, there's nothing there. You've got to correct that, you got to get rid of it. Those altars you built on the high place, you got to get them down. I look down there on that mess, and that's the first thing I see. It's up on the high places. You got to get rid of those altars on the high places. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. It's an abomination. It turns my stomach. I'm offended by it. Get rid of it. For generation after generation after generation, he talks and talks and talks and talks, and he says, it's got to change. It's got to change. Then you get to the end of the prophets, and he goes dead silent. Dead silent. For over 400 years. For over 400 years. And during that time, the nation of Israel is beat around, bashed around, slapped around, knocked around, and never comes around to God. For 400 years. And when you get to the time of Christ, they are under the Roman Empire. And I mean way under the Roman Empire. And they are in bondage. And things are about to get tougher because they're not listening. They're not listening. And by 70 AD, the Bible says about the city of Jerusalem that the Romans took, history tells us about the city of Jerusalem that the Romans took every stone and peeled every stone apart looking for gold in between the stones. There wasn't one stone left sitting upon another. But God had talked and talked and talked and talked and talked through His prophets, through His Word, but not listening. Not listening. God was communicating. Now David lived at the beginning of the reign of Israel, the second king of Israel. But David already knows the despair of not hearing God's voice, of how painful that can be. Look back a few chapters, Psalms 19 and verse 14. Psalms 19 and verse 14. We want to hear from God. It's a rock that our faith is built upon. The Word of God, hearing from God, communication from God. Our families must have good communications. We must be good communicators. And it must not be corrupt communication. It must not be reluctant communication. On Wednesday nights, for a number of months, just every few Wednesday nights, we would sing this psalm. Psalms 19 and verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's how our conversation is to be. Our conversation, the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart is to be acceptable in the Lord's sight at all times. Listen, if it's acceptable in God's sight, it'll be acceptable in your wife's sight. If it's acceptable in God's sight, it'll be acceptable in your husband's sight. If it's acceptable in God's sight, it'll be accepted in your children's sight, your friends, your boss, everyone else's sight. If it's accepted in God's sight, then it's acceptable. If it's not acceptable in God's sight, you say, well, you know, I don't like to talk about those things around other Christians. Then it must not be acceptable. It must not be acceptable conversation. Well, I think there's things, you know, some things you want to talk about, some... Is it acceptable to God? Is it acceptable? Then it's good communication. If it's not, it's corrupt. Corrupt communication. Psalms 18 and verse 2. Look again what the psalmist says. Psalms 18 and verse 2. We'll close with this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. What do you think David had to talk about? What do you think the dinner table was like around David's dinner table? He's talking about the Lord. He's praising the Lord. Man, he just goes on and on. Page after page, the longest book in the Bible. Page after page. Just praising the Lord. Giving glory to the Lord. Always praising God. Giving Him the preeminence. Giving Him first place. Putting Him in the spotlight. Listen, he's a king of Israel. A very powerful man. But he gives place, position, popularity, praise, glory, and honor to the living God. Day in, day out. That's acceptable communication. In any house, it should be. In a Christian home, it must be. And within the walls of a Bible-believing church. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all the blessings You've given us, and we do count those blessings as being wonderful and being abundant. God, we thank You and praise You for the rock of our salvation, for the Word of God, and for the glory that is bestowed upon You. God, may You be glorified through our lives. May we be honest, trustworthy, have integrity, and Lord, may we be good communicators. We thank You and praise You for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Tim, if you'll come and lead us in a song of invitation. If you'd like to come and pray, you're invited to come and pray. There's nothing special about this altar. I'm certainly nothing special. But if you'd like to spend some time in prayer, maybe the Lord spoke to you about something this morning, you come, you pray.